Why do you think there is this disparity in Minnesota? 7-1 is the national disparity. 25-1 is the Minnesota disparity.
It's totally unacceptable. So the answer of why doesn't do it, because it seems to me that what those kind of statistics do is totally erode confidence in the communities of color that people of color are being treated fairly. I mean, so giving an answer doesn't do it. It's those numbers just don't do it for people. I think that the starting point is Minnesota as a state is unfortunately captured in its past. Senator Humphrey fought for civil rights. Therefore, this state is a very liberal state when it comes to civil rights. And in fact, we're not any different than a lot of other places. I grew up in Chicago. I think Chicago, at least in part, is a city that recognizes more its own sins, so to speak, with respect to racial prejudice than people in Minnesota have been willing to do. And so I think that this phenomena has got to the stage that people should have been speaking out more vigorously about this before it got to the present stage.
So do African Americans, is their crime rate 25 times higher than the white crime? Do we know?
Well, we know this much. There's no reason to believe that African Americans in drug cases are so disproportionately involved in chemical dependency compared to the majority population. It's just absolutely, unequivocally not a fact.
So is this, all right, so then, okay.
It seems to me that there are a number of dynamics. One is the nature of where communities of color live, smaller, compact areas, make it easier for them to become the subject of police attention. If you're living in an apartment building with thin walls and you get in a fight with your spouse, it's more likely that neighbors are going to call than if you're living on a farm doing the exact same behavior in which there's no call to the police. Look, I think there's a domestic abuse going on next door. I think, secondly, that there are some parts of poverty play an element to this, in which you look at the demographics and say communities of color suffer greater from poverty. I think number three, and actually it's number one, is there's no question that there's a degree of racism here. And that's ugly to say, but I think it's very important to say. Racism occurs in Minnesota courts. The first part of recovery is admitting you have a problem. And so it seems to me that we would be far healthier to just say, yes, there is no question there is racism in society. There's institutional racism in systems like the criminal justice system. And by admitting that, we will be in a better position to recover.
Well, you've answered one of my next questions, which is, so you're suggesting, saying, I guess, with that answer, that up and down the justice system, African-American people face racism. So at the police patrol level, you're suggesting that they draw more attention.
I think that part of it is the nature of kind of where the little street drug dealer is more likely on the corner of Chicago and Franklin. When you're living in Edina, you're in your house or in your BMW. You're still doing cocaine. It's just a different way of it showing up. So the nature of kind of the compact city stuff is it's a little easier to bring brought to police attention than when you're kind of out of sight, out of mind. I don't mean to pick on the police, because I want to be careful about saying I believe that the entire criminal justice system suffers from this, and it is not healthy for any one of us to say, I'm a judge, I am not racist, but there are a lot of other people. I think it would be healthier for the leaders of the criminal justice system to acknowledge we have a problem, and then kind of go forward and say we need to correct this, than to get in a defensive mechanism of saying, I'm not a racist, I'm colorblind, all that other kind of stuff, that then leads you to the conclusion, well, why is it that you have a 25-to-1 ratio and a young African-American is less likely to end up in prison by growing up in Alabama than they would in Minnesota?
So what is the correction? Should we say to our law enforcement in Minnesota, listen, we're spending too much time at Chicago and Franklin. We got to get out there to Edina.
No, I don't think that the solution to this disparity is to figure out how to send 25 times more white people to prison, which I think is the translation of what you said. I think that we need to be more effective in our intervention strategies with communities of color that end up in the courts. I'll give you an illustration. We're starting now a mentor program for young African-American males sponsored by the Stairstep Foundation. It is designed to make sure that those young African-American males that come into drug court don't end up in prison. The support systems for a lot of young single moms aren't as good as we would like to see. So it seems to me saying to the social services, look, we have a high birth rate of young kids having young kids, and we need to make sure that they have the kind of support that will not end up having those babies end up in juvenile court.
Of your cases last year, 1999, if you have numbers, did you keep track of race? If you did,
yes, we did. And 64% of the defendants in drug court were African Americans, and 70% of them were people of color. Relatively few Native Americans, large numbers of African Americans, totally disproportionate to what the county's demographics are, a totally unacceptable number. One that really bothers me. The only thing that keeps me, allows me to sleep at night, given those numbers, is that of all of the criticism that's been leveled at the drug court, and there's been plenty of it, there's been no outcry from the communities of color that the judges are racist in drug court. So I have some feeling that at least when they've hit the courtroom, in numbers that are uncomfortable, at least we've tried to treat them fairly, and there's no cry about that that I've heard. You know, I think that 25 years ago, there were some polling done nationwide of the trust African Americans had. If they went to court, they would be treated fairly, and they believed that they would. The most recent polls by the the Conference of Chief Justices and the National Center for State Courts indicate African Americans no longer believe they will be treated fairly in court, and whites don't believe they will be either. That is, the African Americans will. So we've done some really bad things. You know, I think a lot of us grew up relatively young watching things like the riots on Plymouth or the national riots in Watts and other stuff, and said, we're a different generation of people. We've done some bad things on our watch. This is not acceptable. It's not good enough. When you have those kind of disparate numbers, over time, we will end up in a huge crisis of race relations between the communities of color. There are way too many young kids, young African-American kids, young Hispanics, who have no trust whatsoever in the criminal justice system. And over time, that's bad. That's real bad. You can't end up having... As one police chief I remember and admired a lot saying, you can't end up having the police be an occupational army in communities of color and not understand that you're going to really have a problem in the long run.